Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace to you like the waves of the sea. That's what our text says. Here's what else our text says, because it's right up here. I'd forgotten this. But it's right up here. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. Now, it's really a Christmas text, but I chose it on purpose for two reasons. Number one, in my experience, whatever name a congregation chooses to organize under has a great tendency to influence their image of themselves and their theology. And it has often and long been my experience that St. John's Gospel permeates this place. That's the first reason I chose it. The second reason I chose it is that this is a Christmas text. And this place knows how to do Christmas. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We've beheld His glory. He's dwelt among us, made His tabernacle with us. The very heart of God understands what it's like to be one of us. This is not just information. This is handling and touching and God opening Himself to us, to our joy and delight and our wonder and our embarrassment and our dreaming and our hoping and our confidence and sometimes our shame. Here's the heart and the love of God. So, well, we have this task ahead of us this morning. We need to talk about 170 years and lots of people and lots of events and a lot of things that have happened or didn't happen and could have or did happen and shouldn't have. We got a lot of pastors to talk about and a lot of very faithful teachers and other servants in the kingdom and musicians and organists and choir, all of that. We got our ancestors to talk about and our forebears. We got you and me to talk about. And the people who are going to be here. Because if it ends with this, it's worthless. Then the race is won. Because the new heaven and the new earth that Pastor Schopper read about in our second lesson hasn't come yet today, this morning. We still have things to engage us. But above all, you've given the task of taking all of that and putting Christ in it. And I don't have to work at that because God already did it. Because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, there's some things I need to say, and I want to let you know that if it strikes your fancy, it's okay to laugh about some of these matters. And about some of these matters, it's okay to cry. Heaven knows Jesus is because the Word is made flesh. That means He's one just like us. And He's here this morning. He's not distant off in the heavens somewhere. He's here with us. He's always been here for 170 years. From a log church to a frame church to a brick church to a mega church, by promise, your Savior has always been here, and He still is this morning in the flesh, laughing with you. Laughing over us, our pretensions and our pomposities and our tempers. And He cries over our wounds and our hurts and our faults and our sins. But He never laughs at us. And He always loves us. That's what the tears and the laughter are about. How about yours? Isn't that what St. John is invited to? To laugh with this one who has risen from among the dead, who has conquered it all. Isn't that what St. John is called to cry with the broken, the missing, the frightened, the lost, and the alone? Not just to sequester ourselves here, but to go out into this community and to find them and to listen to them, because the Word was made flesh. That's always been the case. It still is. That's why God sent him. He came full of grace and truth, and that's not just information. It's the very heart of God who goes beyond information. You can't encapsulate it. So I got three things to say to you this morning. Because the biggest challenge is to keep this, to cover all that stuff, and to say this thing tersely, and to engage you. And to engage the future of your ministry, which cannot be lost as you look back where you came from. So I have three things to say. The first thing to say to you is congratulations to you each and all who are a part of this and have been a part of this. Congratulations to you who have been and are the pastors and the teachers in this congregation, the organists, and all of you who have served in so many different capacities and so many different roles. People who have opened your wallets, people who have stood at the door and handed out bulletins, people who have lived and loved and laughed here. Congratulations. 170 years. Now, contrary to the studied opinion of my grandchildren and some of my former students, I was not here at the beginning. I was here at the 100th anniversary. I was 4 years old. And I sat in the back pew on the right where the Reeks always sat. I think it was in the summer because I had shorts on and my legs kept sticking to the pew. I have distinct memories of Pastor Wampsconce. I have fuzzy memories of that centennial. But I have distinct memories of our grandfather. These are my cousins. There's another one in here somewhere. I have distinct memories of our grandfather talking about Pastor Lang and Pastor Keene, as he always said. Now, my mother was here at the centennial, now sainted. If my mother was here, she'd remember exactly who was here at that centennial observation. And she'd also have a distinct memory of who didn't show up and their lame excuses and the lecture she gave them. Furthermore, she would have had a distinct memory of the mistakes the committee made in how to observe it, and she would have guaranteed that she was on the 150th anniversary committee to make sure they did it right this time. I loved my mother. I truly did. She was not a small amount into control. We don't judge. We just observe. And condemn. Thank you. Congratulations to you. Not many human institutions and organizations last for 170 years. What leads to that? I mean, my goodness, you people preceded and survived an entire empire that threatened all of the world, the Soviet and the Nazis. You people preceded and survived Sears and Roebuck. You people preceded and survived Montgomery Wards. You people preceded and survived Kmart. You people preceded and survived even the H.A. Waterman Company. What is it that leads to something like that? Faithful pastors. Dedicated teachers. Gifted and faithful members who are so willing to be a part of things and do the best they can. People who are willing to take the simple projects and the big ones. People who band together and be able to say, in all honesty, Pastor, we know your opinion. We think we need to go this way. People who are willing to be here again and again and again, even when it's uncomfortable. That's what it takes. But most of all, it takes the Word made flesh. Because without that, it's not worth anything. When an organization exists for 170 years, when it exists any period of time, whether it's a congregation, a nation, a family, nuclear or extended, it becomes this whole pieces of history in which people have wound things together and they're not quite sure what to do with all of it, and they're not quite sure how to unpack it, and it's so much a part of them, and you say to them, why do you do this way? That's the way it's always been. Don't upset things. I know what that's like. Over the years, maybe you've got one of these too. There were times I decorated our house or our tree at Christmas time like you folks do. Those little white lights. And they're wonderful things. They're just beautiful. And yet, over time, pieces of them burn out. Pretty soon, you only got half the strand that's burning. Or you got one that burns out. Or you got a wire that breaks. And I would look at those and say, I'll get those fixed before next Christmas. And then I go and look at the box, and it's this huge jumble of things. Oh, let's just get some new ones. They're cheaper, okay? And so I had this box like this that was gathered together. And for years, I said, I'm going to fix that stuff. And then we'll really have lights all over. I'd try to plug them in, and some of them lit and everything else. That's the way an organization is. Pretty soon we are this jumbled, tangled mass of pieces of history that have happened or not happened. And we kind of all know what's working and what's not, but we're uncertain. We would like to believe that the way to challenge and solve it is to untangle all that and fix all the bulbs. And we say, God, come here, help me straighten all these things out, meaning all of you. Or the pastor, or the teachers, or the world. But that's not the way God does things. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. It is as if into the middle of the core of that jumbled mess that is us and our families, little and large, and our congregations and our world, God thrust His own light of love and burst into light. And the darkness cannot cover it up. The problem is when that light's in the middle of it, we see the jumble that much more clearly and realize, oh, what a mess. That's who we are. Loved as we are. Congratulations for being the loved people of God. Thank you. It's the second thing. Thank you from so many in 170 years to so many. To people who were Sunday school teachers, to people who sang in a choir, to people who set up the communion, to people who served on boards, to people who paid the bills, to people who were the pastors and buried us and married us. Thank you. Thank you from those of us who are descended from the original members, some of us, for taking on the vision that our ancestors had. We had, they just gathered and put a church together because they loved their Savior. And then they did a school. And it's continued. Thank you for continuing their vision. Don't let the visioning stop. Thank you from me, because this is where it began and it continues. There's a reason I'm here at the baptismal font and was in the sanctuary last night, even though one or two wanted me in the pulpit where they'd be safe from me. Because when you preach from the aisle, you can get right in people's face and they can't sleep. But there's another reason. It's because the Word became flesh. And it was right here with us. It wasn't in a pulpit. He was here with us. Thank you for teaching me that. Because there was a Sunday morning in December of 1948 that I was baptized with Marv Rohde the same day. I promised Bobby I would make note of that. Thank you. Because 14 years later, in June the 10th of 1962, I was confirmed and received the Lord's Supper, and you made sure that happened because you promised God it would happen. And the day I was baptized, you promised to pray for me. Thank you. Please don't quit. And then on April the 4th, 1970, I was married to another descendant of this congregation. She's sitting right back over there. And it's still going on 52 years later. And by the way, I'm still in love with her. Thank you, because on March the 24th, 1974, I was ordained at that altar down there. Thank you. He led it. My parents have been buried down there. And someday, my ashes or my dust will be down there, and then we'll carry it out past what's left of the H.A. Waterman Company. And we'll lie down. Thank you. That's the tangle of me. And you saw to it that the Word was there, but it's more. I want to say thank you from the people that are going to come through the doors that you need to go find, that need the life and the light in their life, because they're wandering around in darkness and they're hurt and they're scared and they're angry and they're shooting guns and they're divorcing one another and they're being angry at one another and they're hurting and they need Christ. And you know that. And they're not going to find their way in here. And yes, you go looking for them. Because the mission isn't over yet. Thank you for carrying it on. Last thing. Congratulations. Thank you. I'm sorry. Because I didn't always live up to what you taught me. It got here, but it didn't always get here and here and here. You know, one of the great blessings and challenges of coming home over the years, either to visit or on occasion for a special thing being asked to preach, people would come up afterwards and say, "I remember your sins. Here they are." So I would always come home for a double dose of humility, first to all of you, and then to my siblings who thought I was no big deal. And that's good, because I'm not. It's the Word made flesh. By the time I was confirmed on June the 10th, 1962, I knew all 300 of those questions, and I knew them cold. I knew all those Bible passages. I could explain to you every way you could break one of the commandments or keep it, and I had three Bible passages to back up every conviction. And I was the most self-righteous, pious little snip you'd ever want to meet in your life. Because it was all up here. And it needed to be here. Well, the journey continues, and this text was a piece of it. Not just from here, but from the places I went and the people I heard. And it still goes on. The Word became flesh, and He came to persons of high degree and low. He came to persons who were dead, and He held the icy blue hands of a corpse. He played with children in the marketplace and watched how they imitated wedding and funerals. He had friends who betrayed Him. He had friends He loved, and He taught and He healed. He cried over the death of His friend, and He loved them. And He still comes to us in His Word and in His sacrament and His promised presence. But He always comes in person to you and to me. That's what it means when we say the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Because it means we all need to learn how to say to one another, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I've been holding on to my hurt and my fear. I've been holding on to things you said or didn't say decades ago, days ago. I'm sorry. How do we work this out? That's how a congregation moves into the future. Because that's what it means when we say the Word was made flesh and it dwells among us. Happy anniversary, St. John. Amen.